Good Thursday. Today is January the 1st, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, Happy New Year. We're going to take a look at weather today. Not local weather, but weather in South America. In particular, what's going on in Argentina and the impact the weather may have on their soybean crops and what that could do to our markets. All that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, Happy New Year. We're going to start off today taking a look south of the equator down in South America and weather patterns that could impact their soybean crop. Now, there aren't too many reasons we typically worry about South American crops at this time of the year, but as we get into January, it does become more important. It hasn't been perfect, but soil moisture stands in a very good spot for most of Argentina, as well as Paraguay and southern Brazil. And soil moisture has improved significantly across much of central and northern Brazil, though it is a bit tenuous in some areas. That looking at Argentina in particular, the country has taken some good rainfall in the spring and so far has been able to endure a slower pace of showers this summer to leave most areas with near or above normal soil moisture actually at this point in the season. Fronts have been less frequent, but they have been potentially large producing widespread precipitation. During the week of Christmas, the rainfall had slowed down significantly. A front stalled across northern areas and continued to drop plenty of rain there, but central and southern areas have dried out now. A cold front did push through during the last week of December, and showers are forecast to be quite spotty. Now, we may start to see much drier trends for the southern half of Argentina's growing areas. Long-range versions of both the American GFS and the European models have well below normal precipitation in those areas, prime corn and soybean growing areas we're talking about. Models hint nearly the entire month of January will be a drier pattern, though the GFS model is more forgiving with increased rainfall chances arriving at the midpoint of the month. If a period of dryness comes to Argentina, January is most likely the month that that will occur. And during a La Nina, those chances increase, so this stretch of dryness is neither unexpected nor unprecedented, but the period could prove very important. The first phase of corn planting completed as scheduled, and the second phase is already half over, resulting in 77% of their total corn crop being planted already. Corn from the first phase should largely be in the pollinating to filling stages, and the soil moisture so far has allowed that to occur as usual. However, the second phase of corn is seeing soil moisture reductions from the top of the soil column downward, and young plants could be hit with stressful conditions for the early growth that they need. Soybeans are mainly planted in November and December, and some of the early planted beans are getting into the blooming stage, and water availability will become more important with time. While those later planted soybeans can endure a period of dryness in their early growth stage, that could then be improved by increased rainfall in about a month. Moisture in late January and into February can help to reduce losses for both crops, but that will depend on the temperature forecast as well. If it's not raining, it's usually hotter, and that indeed is the forecast for much of January for most of Argentina. So far, weather conditions have been good enough to keep the crop conditions at better than normal readings, but concerns could start to mount in January if the forecast holds true. It certainly will be something we want to monitor. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now to the Great Lakes, as the Great Lakes salty shipping season is ending anyways, with Duluth Superior's ocean navigation season coming to a close. This was back the day before Christmas Eve, the last of the salties to pull out. The multi-flagged Miadvia set sail from Duluth, Minnesota, as the port of Duluth Superior said goodbye to the final ocean-going ship, or salties as they refer to them, for the 2025 navigating season. Now, the Miadvia is a bulk carrier built back in 2010. It measures 623 feet in length and about 79 feet in width, so it's quite a big ship. It was loaded at the Kress Riverland Ag Terminal with durum wheat, and it's actually headed to Algeria. The Miad Via will be the last in a convoy of six ocean-going vessels departing Duluth with grain since December the 13th, bringing the port of Duluth Superior's ocean-going navigation season to a close. That, according to Jason Horing, he's the Director of Communications and Marketing for that Seaway Port Authority. Now, the Montreal Lake Ontario section of the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Seaway system closes for the winter on January the 5th, so the Miad Via must exit that system by then. It's part of the Poststream fleet, that's a Polish stream company, and is named for a lake in Poland. The vessel was one of nine Salties to visit the port of Duluth Superior in December of this year, which is a single-month high for ocean-going arrivals during the 2025 season. Lakers will continue to transit to and from the port of Duluth Superior, moving within the Great Lakes, and this will continue until the Sioux Lock season closure, which is scheduled for the middle of January. And given that ice coverage on the Great Lakes of December 25th is only 4% overall, transit for the Miad Via and Lakers should be good for now, but icebreakers will be handling any trouble spots as they should appear. Lake Superior is 2% covered in ice. Lake Michigan is 3%. Lake Huron is 7%. Lake Erie actually has 10% coverage as of this report, and Lake Ontario is 2% covered. Now, in a notice to all shippers back in mid-October, the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Seaway noted that the Montreal Lake Ontario section would close January the 5th, and all ships must clear that section by noon that day, following the Miad Via as it leaves Duluth on December the 23rd with its load of durum wheat headed for the Atlantic Ocean. It's covering 2,038 nautical miles and traveling about 8.5 sailing days to get there. So it's always interesting to see the different ways that our commodities are transported, and in this case, some out of Duluth, Minnesota, that are actually heading across the sea to Algeria. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.